وسهلا فيكم مستمعينا بحلقة جديدة. أنا كتير مبسوط على الحلقات اللي عم ننتجها هلأ، عم بيكون في تنوع بالمواضيع، عم نستضيف ناس من أنحاء العالم، من الوطن العربي، يعني من داخل الوطن العربي ومن خارج الوطن العربي. فأنا كتير مبسوط أكشلي بالحلقات اللي عم نعملها بهذا الموسم، وإنه ضايل بس كم من حلقة من هذا الموسم وبيخلص، بس أنا كتير 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 مبسوط. عم بكون كتير زيت عن يوتيوب، اوكي سوري عم بكون شوي زيت عن يوتيوب، بس لا عن جد انا كتير مبسوط بالحلقات عم ننتجها، عم مبسوط بالرياكشنز عم تسمعوها، مبسوط عم نعمل حاليا زي جلسات حواريه مع ضيوف اللي بنستضيفهم بالحلقه، وعم بتكونوا كتير مبسوطين فيهم. اليوم بحلقتنا رح هيك نطير ونسافر ونروح على تونس الخضراء. بتونس في صديقة أنا ما تعرفت عليها in real life، بس تعرفت عليها virtually. كنت بدردش مرة مع صديقة إلي بمصر، وكنت بحكي لها عن الموضوع، كنا نحكي مناقشة يعني موضوع معين، قلت لي في خولة من تونس هي عم تشتغل على هذا الموضوع، حعملكم هيك introduction سريعة. وفعلا عملت introduction على الفيسبوك و started talking. خولة هي بتكون منسقة في جمعية موجودين. جمعية موجودين في تونس تهتم بقضايا الأقليات، قضايا مجتمع الميم، وعم تشتغل على كتير محاور إلها علاقة في هذا الموضوع. عادة لأنه ضيوف اللي قبل بكون بعرفهم معرفة شخصية بالحياة الواقعية، فبشارك كتير وبسأل كتير بالحلقات، بس خول لأني ما بعرفها in real life وبس بعرفها online، رح أترك المجال لإلها لحتى تحكي. فرح أحكي لها، رح نحكي أكتر عنها، رح تحكي أكتر عن تعرف عن حالها in general. خولة معنا هلأ على الخط وعم تحكينا من تونس. كيفك؟ شو أخبارك خولة؟
I'm fine, I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. كيف رمضان؟ طبعاً إحنا لسه عم نسجل حلقات كلياتها من خلال اللي عم بيصير بكل كورونا، فأتوقع مش عم بيصير كتير أشياء بالحياة، بس لازم أسأل هذا السؤال. So كيف الوضع عندكم بتونس؟
Average. يعني الوضع not like usual, but they just lifted the lockdown a day ago, so things are slowly getting back to normal, if you know, between many brackets normal.
I think that's really good, لأنه بالأخير يعني يمكن بأول فترة كل الناس بالعالم مش عم بعرفوا شو اللي عم بيصير، فمتلخبطين وهيك، بس هلأ بلشنا شوي شوي نتعود إنه هذا this is the new normal for us. عرفت كيف؟ وهيك علمنا درس كتير مهم إنه like to stay hygienic وهيك قصص. خولة كنت لسه بحكي هلأ للناس الانترودكشن انه كنا عم نوثق عن قصص ناس حولنا العالم، وشاءت صدف انه نحط طائرة الحلقة بتونس، وعملت انترودكشن بسيطة انك انت منسقة بجمعية موجودين. حاب اعرف اول اشي كيف خولة بلشت كل هاي البروسس، يعني بالاخر مرة حكينا فيها قعدنا نحكي كيف انك عشتي باكتر من بلد، وكل سنة كانت تحديات البلد اللي بتكوني عايش فيه غير عن تحديات البلد التاني. يعني مثلا انت وانت صغيرة كنت باليابان، بعدها رحت اكتر من دولة. حاب اعرف اكتر عن هاي التفاصيل.
شكرا عايشك. Yeah, my name is Khawla, obviously, and I work with the organization Mojodin. We exist for equality. But so how it all started, I don't know exactly how to describe how it started, but I think it was all born out of the mix of these different experiences that you were just talking about, of living in different queer realities in different countries, and coming to the conclusion that as a Tunisian, finally ending up living in Tunisia, I had to do something about it. Mm-hmm. Because it was mostly like the result of many circumstances bottoming up that led to me doing the work that I do today. As you said, I grew up for the first part of my life in Japan. That's where my parents lived. And they're both Tunisian. So when I was around like 7, 8, probably 10, honestly, like it was back and forth for a few years until we finally settled back in Tunisia. Mm-hmm. And we lived there for years. And then I went on an exchange year to the US. So I lived there for a year and then I came back to Tunisia. And then we all moved to Saudi Arabia, and I stayed there for almost a year as well, and then came back to Tunisia on my own. So it was always back and forth from Japan, Tunisia, US, Saudi Arabia, and then Tunisia.
يمكن بس حاب أعرف بأي دولة حسيتي حالك واعية أكتر عن القضايا الكويرية أو واعية أكتر عن the general queer culture؟ يعني بأي دولة كنت قد إيه كان عمرك وقتها؟
Okay, so if we're talking about queer culture, like as in outside of myself, and let's say when we talk more about struggles and the things that marked me, I would say Saudi Arabia. But if we're talking about like my own queerness and like me coming into terms of my own identity and discovering what the culture did to me, that would be like a mix of the US and Tunisia. I think I first like admitted to having a non-conformist sexuality and an identity was in the US when I was around 15 to 16. But before that, obviously, I had my doubts and I was forming my identity in Tunisia before going there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
كانت كيف كانت تجربتك بالسعودية؟ يعني أنت هلأ حكيتي إنه يمكن تجربتك إذا فهمتها مزبوط إنه الكويرية الشخصية أكتر كانت موجودة بالسعودية.
Yes, the thing that marked me the most were in Saudi Arabia. Yes.
ليش السعودية؟ عادة دائما السعودية في عندها هاي الصورة النمطية عن الناس إنه معني actually بلشت تتغير عندي لأنه في كتير عندي ناس بعرفهم كانوا عايشين بالسعودية وكانوا يحكوا لي أحلى أيام مثلا حياتهم بالنسبة لهم يعني إنه كانت مثلا بالسعودية أكتر الأيام اللي عرفوا كتير أشياء بحياتهم كانت بالسعودية بينما مثلا الصورة السائدة عند الناس إن أنت لما تروح على السعودية بتكون في زي طمس لهويتك الشخصية especially إذا كنت حدا كويري لازم تطمسها in order to fit in بالمجتمع السعودي. كيف كانت هاي التجربة بالنسبة لك بهذاك الوقت؟
Definitely what I learned about Saudi Arabia is that you have that kind of perception of it, like the good, comfortable living, it comes from a place of privilege. Because without certain privileges in Saudi Arabia, you weren't able to live all those, let's say, good times. So I lived in a small town, and I'm just not going to name it for the sake of my friend's safety, who are still there. At first, obviously, when I just went there and I had no friends and I knew no one, I was very like concealed and secretive about my identity and sexuality. I wasn't going to say that out there. Me as well, I was like a Tunisian who just saw Saudi Arabia from the outside and heard all these stories and knew that they had this reputation. So I was really afraid for my safety. So I just kept it a secret until I found a friend who actually opened up to me. And when we started talking and learning from her and from her experience and what she told me about what happens at schools, at homes, the conversations that go on under the table, that's how I started knowing, oh, okay, there's a community here.
Yeah.
And they exist. And their existence and their struggle are a whole other thing than what I've witnessed in Tunisia or in the US.
Mm-hmm.
They're like two, you cannot even compare them because in Saudi Arabia, it always felt like one was accommodating to a whole nation's feelings, if that makes sense. Like you needed to serve the perception that they set up to the world mm-hmm. and not just to their own society. And being anything other than that gave them the right to act upon it. And their actions are not easy, let's say. They're often brutal.
يعني يمكن مثلا لو لأنه شاءت الصدف وتعرفتي على هاي الصديقة قدرتي تعرفي إنه في كوميونيتي موجود بالمحيط اللي أنت موجودة فيه هل بتحسي هاي هي الطريقة كيف الكوميونيتي بتعرف على بعض بالسعودية؟ يعني كيف تقيم تجربتك تعرفك إنك دخلتي الكوميونيتي هاد؟
I think yes one with يعني meeting people face to face into social media, Twitter especially. Like social media is a huge thing. That's probably the main way that you can find people like yourself in Saudi Arabia. And I think that Saudi people got really creative, like the minorities, into getting away with their identities, let's say that. And I really respect that. When I talk to them, they need to be very like secretive, take many security measures, like have so many accounts, and they even developed like their own kind of code language to not really say the words, but say the words and know that, you know, recognize each other in the virtual space. So yeah, I think mostly communication happens on Twitter and other social media.
كيف كان ردة فعلك؟ بدي أرجع شوي لورا، لما كنت أنت بأمريكا وعرفتي أنك أنت هلا رح تروحي على السعودية، حسيت أنت هلا بشي حكيتي أنه كان في عندك نوع من الخوف، نوع من التوتر، أنك كنت عايشة مثلا ب ما بدي أحكي a complete safe space بأمريكا، بس a space that كان بت more يعني safer than Saudi Arabia. كيف حسيتي تلقيتي الخبر؟ كيف حسيت حالك انا كيف بدي اتاقلم؟ كيف بدي اكون موجوده بالحياه اللي كنت عايشها مثلا بامريكا، هلا رح انقلها على السعوديه and so on.
يعني انا when I received the news that we were moving to Saudi Arabia, I wasn't in the US. Like I just left the US and came back to Tunisia. So it was in the period of transitioning. But nevertheless, I just came back from the US. So I mean, obviously, it was the automatic, oh my God, what am I going to do, fear. And at the same time, a kind of excitement, because that's how my whole life's been. So for me, every time like there's a new country, I'm excited, even if it's Saudi Arabia. But what I discovered later is that I had no idea what was going to happen. Like, no idea. I was in complete blind state. But I was excited and afraid at the same time, I would say.
لما شفت الوسط الكويري مثلا بعمر ال 15 بأمريكا، وسط الكويري حتى لو كان الافتراضي مثلا بالسعودية، how did it reflect your work, your personality, everything لما رجعتي على تونس؟ يعني كيف أخذتي ال combination بين كل هاي التجارب لتكوني تجربتك الخاصة بتونس لما رجعتي؟
Well, the thing is that if we think about it in a certain way, Tunisia is like the middle ground between the two. So we're not really as far as the US has gotten in terms of queer rights, and we're not as bad as Saudi Arabia. So having lived both realities, it kind of gave me this perception that I must never assume how things are going to go. So when in all my work and all the things that I do, and whether be it personal or professional, when I work with a community, I always put in the back of my mind, you've seen probably the worst of it in Saudi Arabia, and you've seen how it could be in the US. So how can you mix the both? What can you do to move further away from that one and get closer to the other one? Although, like, I don't consider the US as the perfect model, but still, you know, with what I have, it's good enough.
بتذكر لما عدنا نحكي آخر مرة كنا نناقش كيف يعني أنت وجودك بتونس أصله من منطقة جدا محافظة، كنت تقولي لي أنه صلة المعرفة كتير قوية بهاي المنطقة، يعني إذا كنت أنت مثلا منطقة تانية وحكيت من اسم عائلتك رح يعرفوا أنت من أي مكان ومين عائلتك، يعني في صلة تقارب كتير كبيرة. كيف كانت هاد التحدي لإلك لحتى يعني تكوني بوسط الكويري الشخصي تاعك، بس بنفس الوقت انت كنت عارفة انه انا جاية من منطقة كتير محافظة وفيها عادات تقاليد جدا ملتزمة سوري.
انا عشت في صفاقس for like a period of my life before going to the US and before going to Saudi Arabia. That's where my parents are from. And Sfaqas is like a conservative big town. It's not a small town. It's the second largest city in Tunisia. But at the same time, it's conservative and it has a reputation of the hardworking Sfaxian people. So you can recognize a person from there by their last name, by their family's business, that kind of stuff. And everyone knows everyone. So it's kind of a situation where if you had an identity like mine, it was safer to hide it because everyone will know and you will put yourself at risk. So yeah, I lived there when I was in middle school and high school and finished the last years of elementary school and everything. And that was the critical part of coming into terms with my identity, obviously. Being in middle school, you know, the first crush, the first feelings, all the first things happening while living in that city.
Yeah.
And while knowing that, you know, it wasn't, social media wasn't as big of a deal back then. So it wasn't really just as easy as today's teenagers to log in on social media and find people like you. It was more like, am I alone in this?
Yeah.
But at the same time, there was a kind of, let's say, I don't know how to call it, but maybe charm or excitement. But I don't want these words to undermine the struggle of the people who live there and who go through things there. That you know, the struggle had its own perks, let's say. It's because if you survive coming into terms with your identity in that environment, in those schools with the heteronormative perception of society that has of you and their expectations and everything, then basically you can survive it anywhere else, in my opinion. It gives you a sense of strength and a sense of determination that really pushes you to do more and more in the future.
What kind of يعني sorry حيكون شوي ignorant بهذا السؤال بس بحب بسأله لكل حدا عشان بس أعرف التجارب المختلفة اللي نحن منعيشها. What kind of struggle specifically in that area that you need you know مش just to take care of but like to put into consideration لحتى يعني تعيش بارتياح مش ما بدي أحكي بأمان بس بارتياح أكتر. يعني إيش ممكن تكون هي ال struggles in general.
The struggle in general. So I mean, there's the things that I think everyone everywhere experiences: the sense of not belonging and being the odd one out of everyone basically surrounding you. But mostly from where I lived and of that period of time, there was no representation and there was also no, let's say, people actively working on the community and with the community in that region back then. Now it has changed, like Mojudin and other organizations are working in Sfax and other cities, but back then that wasn't happening. So for a 13-year-old me to reach out, I had no one to reach out to, and I had no idea even in the first place that there could be an organization or there could be a person that was working with people like me or helping people like me, if that makes sense. So I think the main thing is that state of loneliness. That's the biggest struggle.
How did you convert كتير حلو عم بحكي عم بسمع سوري how did it convert هذا الستراجل لشغلك بموجودين يعني لما عرفتي انه you're gonna join الفريق تاع موجودين كيف حسيتي هاي التجارب كلياتها رح توجهيها من خلال عملك بموجودين.
There's this thing that I always tell people when they ask me like why do you do the work you do and it's that I'm angry. So I think that's like in the same rhetoric right here. I think that I've always grown up as an angry child. Throughout all those stages, I was always either angry or frustrated or lonely. It never felt like comfortable. So, and I knew that that could go very wrong. Like it could go south. It could make me a really negative person. But then working with Mojudin came into steps. So in the beginning when And I like got to know Mojudin. It was just an organization that was doing their thing. I watched their activities from afar. I went to their offices like once or twice just to assist to, you know, community building activities like a cinema club or something like that. And then with time, it slowly became, more and more involved.
Yeah.
With time, I started volunteering to do things and then participating in more and more things and getting to know more people and having all these amazing conversations that, you know, they helped me discover that my anger and frustration didn't necessarily have to be weapons. They could be tools.
Yeah.
So with them and with that slow moving forward, I started getting more and more involved and finding structure in what I did.
Mm-hmm.
It no longer was just, you know, a friend hanging out. It became more like, what can we do now? How can we help? What more could we be involved in? And yeah, so yeah, that's how I think it came into being.
When you deal with different cases, not just cases, but when you deal with different backgrounds من الناس من مجتمع الميم خلال شغلك بموجودين, أكيد يعني they highlight issues يمكن أنتوا ما كنتوا منتبهي لها أو ما ركزتوا عليها and so on. كيف بتحسوا إنه الفيدباك تاعت الناس اللي بيكونوا مهتمين بشغل موجودين سواء من مجتمع الميم أو بغض النظر مين ما كان يكون, it reflects مثلاً الشغل تاعكم, الأجندة, الكالندر, اليرلي كالندر of activities تاعتكم, و how do you take responsibility كخولة إنك تتبنيهم لتكون محاور نقاشية أو محاور للمشاريع بشغلكم بموجودين.
I think one of the things that we rely on like heavily is the feedback of our members. We have more than a couple hundred members in Mojudin. And I know they're not like completely representative of the community, but they're a very diverse group of people. And being in constant contact with them, it gives us feedback on the effectiveness of what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So when we do Mojudin's work, other than, you know, the legal and psychological help, other than the helpline, and, you know, let's say the more technical things, we try to also do a lot of activities that build up the community, because that's one of the biggest thing that Tunisian queer community lacks, like the space to be themselves in the first place. So if you could start by providing that, then everything will fall into place automatically, or at least that's what we believe in. Yeah, so by their feedback and seeing their reactions to the different activities and also giving them the freedom to organize those activities. So we kind of, you know, liberate ourselves from the very structural, technical view of a typical organization and give ourselves a certain freedom to let these people who are, you know, people from the community living their normal daily lives who have an idea and come forward to us and want to execute it and want to do something and want to invite other queer people. And we give them the freedom to do that. And it happens. And then we see it's like a domino thing effect.
Yeah.
It just keeps happening and more people invite more people and it just keeps growing and getting bigger. And you see the feedback and that helps you. Are we doing it right? Are we doing it wrong? And I mean, I haven't been with Mojudin for as long as like many other members have or staff have. So learning also from their experiences and listening to them tell us about the beginning of Mojudin and how it was from the beginning, how it is now, listening to the feedback of like international and national partners and seeing how they see us from the outside, that also helps a lot into carrying our mission. Because whether we like it or not, when we're submerged in the work that we do and, you know, elbow deep in the things that we do, it's really hard to see the effects of how it's applying in real life. And it can get very dark in the sense that there's that constant nagging feeling of, oh, we're not doing enough, not enough, not enough, not enough. And you need, like, sometimes we need to take a step back and look at our members and other community members and listen and see, okay, probably for this moment right now, it's enough. It's what we can do.
That's really interesting. I think الناس اللي بيشتغلوا بي بي بال NGOs أو بيشتغلوا على القضايا المجتمعية كتير مهم يركزوا على هاي النقاط حتى يقدروا يستمروا بتقديم هذا العمل بآخر اليوم. في هيك سؤال شوي شخصي رح أسأله، عادة بسأل كل الناس اللي بيكونوا معي بالحلقات، أنت كخولة إيش في تحديات أو صعوبات واجهتيها مثلا بالمدرسة أو مثلا من الأهل من الأصحاب in terms of أو حتى مثلا لما يسألوك أهلك أنت وين بتشتغلي تقول لهم بموجودين، طب إيش موجودين؟ عرفتي كيف دائما بيكون في زي هاي يعني الخوف أو التوتر بأنك تفصحي عن أي إشي سواء كشغلك أو كشخصيتك للعالم. أنا مثلا بالنسبة إلي I'm not a big fan of the coming out culture، يعني I don't really support it. I don't think it's the importance of just telling people your sexuality. ما بحسهاش إنه إشي كتير مهم. بس قد أنه ذي هي موجودة وعم نتعامل معها كل يوم. كيف خولة شافت هاي التحديات؟ شو صار معها من وقت ما كانت في المدرسة لما وقت ما بلشت تشتغل مع موجودين؟ حاسس انه هو
فلاش باك انتفاي،
حاسس انه السؤال بده 7 ساعات بس انه
والله ترو. Okay, well, as I said, I'm not a fan of the coming out culture either, but as you said, it's there, we have to deal with it. But like personally, I never did a coming out, like I never came up to anyone, it just happens that I'm there. But I think like looking back from school to now, the struggles or let's say experiences that marked me the most are probably, I mean, there was obviously an evolution in the way that I dealt with things, but I discovered or at least had my first doubt through my first, let's say, crush or, you know, love story, too many brackets. So I think that was the first struggle, that suddenly you're hit with in the face with loving this person and then not being able to actually love this person or tell people that you're loving this person and being too young and too inexperienced and too innocent for any other form of relationship in the first place, let alone a queer one. And following that comes, you know, the mental stress that you have. And obviously a queer person's identity is not just their queerness. So I had other things going on in life that all add up together and create this human who's young and still clueless and going through all these struggles and the maze of questions about their identity, whether it be their sexuality or their religious view or their notions of culture and love and friendship and all these things happening all at once. And that grows and evolves into forming friendships with the people that are like-minded, let's say, and alienated like myself from the people that were not like me, which later on I discovered wasn't really the healthiest approach to take.
Yeah.
It was just, you know, the young brain thinking that's how it could protect itself. And I think the struggle, like the continuous struggle has always been mental. The physical struggles changed from circumstance to circumstance. From school and bullying and the hate that you receive online and to your face. And then it changes to being the odd one out in the United States, being the only brown girl in your country and like from your country that they've ever met and who's also queer. So you get the questions like, how are you like African and gay? And I'm like, okay, those two words like mean much more than what you're saying, you know? And then Saudi Arabia and witnessing so many horrible things in Saudi Arabia and getting to know that the community is really, really in deep shit. And, you know, it's like a roller coaster of continuously like getting through walls, bumping into them first, but then getting through them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think, like, what I would say the present struggle for now is carrying the weight of, I don't know how to explain this. It's like there's a weight of responsibility, let's say, or because it feels like there are all these people and I'm sitting here and I don't understand how is it possible that a whole society or a whole culture decided to hate on us for reasons that they do not even understand in the first place. And I, and obviously many, many other people, have like certain powers and certain privileges, mainly, that allow us to create change. So we have to do that. And while we do it, we make mistakes. And while we make mistakes, you know, we might get hurt and other people might get hurt. And that's our responsibility. And it's like a continuous feeling eating me from the inside.
I totally agree.
Trying to be better.
I totally agree.
All the time. Yeah.
No, that, هاي الجملة كتير يعني ما بدي أحكي حسيت حالي فيها بس 100% that's 100% true. I think privilege, the privileges we have some in some cases لازم نستعمله لحتى to make a change, بس yet though when لما نستعمله to make a change ممكن it might backlash on us. إيش عندك نصيحة for like young queers that are listening right now in the Arab world وبرا؟ شو ممكن تحكي لهم إشي out of your experience, out of your struggles, out of the things that you faced؟ شو ممكن إشي تحكي لهم إياه؟
My advice, right? To young queer people is that they do not have to do anything, basically. Like, nothing that the Western media tells you or that your country's media tells you is necessarily true about your identity. Only you determines your identity. So looking at cultures that are different and wishing that you had that, it's totally fine and it's totally natural and human, but at the same time, don't let that trick you into sabotaging your own safety and security. And at the same time, looking at your own reality, don't let that, you know, put you in a state of misery and, you know, don't think that you're doomed in that state forever. Because it really does change. And I mean, we hear that a lot. It gets better and it changes. I just don't want to say it gets better. I want to say it changes. It evolves somehow. Nothing is constant. So keep that in mind and trust yourselves and your identities while growing up and, you know, going on with your future. Because at the end of the day, there's no one that can protect you better than yourself and your own brain.
Yeah.
So be smart about it. Know, like, what's your next move are going to be. I mean, it's so sad to have to say this to a young person because young people should be carefree and fun and happy and just doing their thing.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, it's some of our realities. That's what we have to think about. And and I wish them good luck.
Totally. لكل الناس عم بسمعوا. بدي أحكي عن شغلة كتير مهمة اللي هي TEDx. I remember your interview with Mike Halley magazine, and we talked about it last time. So you've been invited to speak at TEDx. I mean, like, that's TEDx. So يعني whatever you do, it يعني it's something very special, and it's something very professional. It's something very fun. It's like كل هدول المشاعر مع بعض. وTEDx عمل زي a culture بكل العالم إنه it's no longer just for you know, a specific sector to talk about. It's so much bigger than that. There is so much freedom, and you can shape your session or your talk بTEDx بطريقة انت بس لحالك تقدر تعملها. كيف خولة طلعت على TEDx وحكت كل هذا الحكي؟ وانا اذا مش غلطان هو TEDx كان ب مش بالعاصمه, كان يعني هو كان بين الناس اللي كان يمكن من اكثر الاشياء, يعني بين مجتمع لازم كثير تحافظ على كل كلمه انت بتحكيها قبل ما تحكيها. فكيف كانت هاي التجربه انك انت عم تحكي مع الناس اللي انت كنت خايف منهم اكثر ناس انه من حواليك؟
I mean, obviously it felt empowering, like, oh, finally, I'm, you know, I'm out of it kind of situation. But at the same time, it's a moment of realization of privilege, like the first thing, because I had privileges that allowed me to do that, you know, like certain, you know, financial security. I had my friends group that support me and I know will not give up on me. I had my cis identity and all those things that made it easier for me to go up a stage and talk about a topic like this in front of that audience. So it wasn't just pure courage, you know. That's
سريع المقاطعة خلاص. تقدري بس تحكي للناس إيش أكتر كان التوبيك يعني. So if you can just like recap the topic so people can know إيش الموضوع اللي كان بيحكي بتيدكس.
Obviously, so the TEDx theme was fighting real illusions. So what I tried to talk about, it wasn't specifically about the queer community, but what I did is this comparison between the otherness and the nothingness, like the two philosophical big things, like what's the other person, and what's nothing, you know, العدم, as we say.
Yeah.
And I tried to like talk about these two things from the primitive perspective, how humans had no idea about, you know, all the science and technology that we have today. And, you know, they thought the sun was God and fire was God and all of that things. And that was mainly العدم and our notion of knowing nothing. And at the same time, there was the other notion of the otherness, you know, الشخص الآخر, that they're different and they do not help the tribe survive back in the primitive days. So these two notions together, for me at least, they brought us to what we are today. They are, let's say, the baby marginalization. Today they create this whole concept of pushing people to the margins because they're different and because we're afraid of what they might be that we don't know. And we're afraid of their identity kind of undermining ours because we still don't have that notion that, you know, the other difference doesn't necessarily make you bad. You know, we're just different and that's it.
Yeah.
You know, point blank. So that's what I talked about in my TEDx talk. And I took the queer community also as an example of how it's all born out of fear. All of the hate, all of the toxic behavior towards the community is just fear and ignorance, and it's basically born out of those two things, the nothingness and the otherness. So
كيف كان ردة فعل الجمهور أو قبل ردة فعل الجمهور كيف كان ردة فعل TEDx؟ I guess TEDx they do go through the final pitch قبل ما تطلع. That's what I know. بس كنت أعرف كيف كانت ردة فعل TEDx team بهذاك الوقت when you said رح أعمل 1, 2, 3 وإيش كانت ردة فعل الجمهور بعد ما أنت خلصتي ال speaking session؟
So the TEDx team, they were very supportive. They liked the idea from the beginning. They were encouraged. I think one of the reasons they even contacted me in the first place because they knew I would do it.
Yeah.
So they were an amazing team and they're all high schoolers and like I was amazed.
Ooh, so they were like high school kids.
Yeah, they're high school kids. Yeah.
Interesting. وكيف كانت especially إنه يعني كيف كان مثلاً رأي الإدارة مثلاً هم ما بعرفش يعني شافوا الموضوع قبل بس يعني بعد ما طلعتي وحكيتي كل إشي كيف كان رأي الجمهور والإدارة بنفس الوقت؟
الإدارة you mean like the
إدارة المدرسية؟
Oh yeah, they did it outside of the school.
Okay.
So we didn't have, you know, administrative issues or anything.
Okay.
They did it in a private space. And the audience reaction too was obviously a mix of things. And, you know, the funny thing about the audience that it had my brother and my two cousins in it who had no idea what I was going to talk about. So
okay, ايش كان ردة فعلهم من الموضوع؟
Sorry. I mean, my cousins were obviously kind of shocked, but at the same time they didn't react badly. They just, you know, they were like, okay, that's strange. We didn't know that you knew about those things. And I'm like, I know. I totally know, but I am. And my brother, he was supportive in his own ways. Like, my brother is 17 at the time, and before that, I kind of hinted to him about the topic, but never really full blown, you know, did it coming out, as I said. So after that day, he kind of got the message. So, but he never had any negative, you know, reaction, or so I'm assuming he's supportive.
Interesting. طيب, أنا I'm run out of يعني ran out of things that I want to know. بس I don't know if you have anything you want to add, Khawla. If you want to speak about anything, if you want to just add one last thing, it's your time.
Thank you. I don't know what I want to talk about. Okay.
ليش حاسة إنه بضحك في إشي؟
You know, you put me on the spot.
خولة احكي.
Now. Peek.
خولة ما تفضحين قدام العالم.
لا أشعر بس okay. I think well, it's probably an advice, or I don't know how we can call it, but I think any queer person in any reality, we're like 99% of the time going to just like discover and live through that. I don't know, it's kind of a state of aloneness. Even if you end up finding a community and being surrounded by like-minded people who support you, it's very likely that that feeling stays as part of yourself. It's part of us growing up.
Yeah.
And I know it's dark and gloomy to say this, but I think it's the reality. I hope I'm wrong. But for anyone who's living in that state and who has that in hearts and minds, I think my number one advice, or from my own experience, is to have a passion about something, whatever it is. Like, just, you know, to feel that passion towards anything, scientific or writing or artistic, or like a certain behavior or whatever it is, really, it doesn't matter. Just to be passionate about something, it could really, like, help us in the healing process and into confirming our identity, because, you know, that passion lets our brains keep flowing and keep being strong and keep affirming our identities, which is very, very important in many societies. Just affirming our identities, just saying I'm here and I'm queer is enough. That's like the first step, the best thing you can do. So yeah, that's what I have to say, I guess.
Well, that was a really nice chat and talk about you, Khawla. I'm happy, like, you know, we went through Tunis. إنه ما كنتش متوقع إنه مثلاً نوثق إنه قصة من تونس. عرفت كيف؟ إن أغلب القصص وثقناها إنه بأمريكا وسويد وهيك. ما في حلقة من لبنان، حلقتين من لبنان. فأنا كتير مبسوط إنه وثقنا إشي من تونس. أنا سمعت آخر خبر إنه إنه ال state of Tunis they recognize the same sex marriage certificate. هي مش من ناس تونسيين. They're like, I guess they're هم مش تونسيين بدي يعني اعطوهم سيرتيفيكيت لو انه واحد منهم تونس. مش متاكد من المعلومه.
Yeah, it's not true.
okay.
yeah, but thank you so much for bringing it up, because it's very important. Like, people think it's true and it's not. It's an administrative mistake in the birth certificate of one of the husbands who's Tunisian, and that's all that happened. But having it announced in the media as like a recognition of same-sex marriage, it's really, really dangerous for the community and for that person as well.
Yeah, أتوقع هذا إشي كتير مهم نعرفه, إنه الأخبار اللي منقرأها ممكن كتير تتغير لحتى ما إحنا توصل لعنا. فأمجد بس عندكم يعني حتى بالإعلام التونسي بينوا نفس النقطة, يعني كان الهيدلاين بنفس الطريقة نحكى.
Yes, even in the, like, I think there was probably only two Tunisian outlets that talked about it, and they said that Zawij Nasli, that's how they called it.
Yeah, because, you know, this is what brings the people up, do all the topics. Well, thank you, Khawla, for this lovely chat and this lovely 46 minutes of talking about life and experiences. I'm so happy for you. I'm really happy about the Mike Alley interview. And I'm actually كيف الصدفة يعني أنا أصلا ما كنتش بعرف عنك. فجأة كنت بحكي مع my friend from Egypt and she was like, oh, I know خولة. She works in this field. وفجأة like, we became virtual friends. I'm really happy, and I hope one day when I go to see when I go to Tunisia, I'm gonna see you definitely. يعني خاوة عن راسك.
Definitely.
yeah, I'm really happy, خاولة. Thank you so much for being with us in this episode, and I hope إنه هاي الأبسود تكون قريبة and people can relate to it from people across the Arab world وبرا when they hear it. And yeah, thank you so much, خاولة, for joining me.
Thank you for having me. It's wonderful what you're doing. Really, I appreciate it.
نحن هيك نكون خلصنا حلقة جديدة من سند والناس, وحلقتنا كانت اليوم مع خولة كويرية عايشة بتونس, لفت ثلاث بلدان بين السعودية اليابان وأمريكا, وحكيت لنا عن تجربتها بخوضها بالتحديات كأي شخص كويري عربي. بتمنى تكونوا انبسطتوا بهاي الحلقة وسمعتوها. فيكم تسمعوا برنامجنا على أكثر من 10 منصات في 90 دولة حول العالم. بشكر محمد سعفان على الإخراج الفني, ومنشوفكم بحلقات جاية. مع السلامة.